The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To dedicate a daf, a perek, or an entire masechta, please call 1-888-485-8223 or email info@thehalachacenter.org.
Shavuos Daf Lamed Ches. In the beginning of Perek Shavuos Hadayonim, which introduces the classic Shavuos that are midaraisa, Shavuos Moed B'Miktzas, Shavuos Eid Echod, and the Perek goes through the various types and dinim of Shavuos that are mandated midaraisa, that Bezin applies in cases of Toyin V'Nitin with his Oedo B'Miktzas. The Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis quotes a brayse, Tonu Rabbonim, the last line of the Amud. Shavuos Hadayonim af hi b'lashona nemro. And Rashi explains that this means, what does this mean? Af hi b'lashona nemro. Rashi says, the bottom Rashi on Daf Lamed Ches, b'lashona b'chol loshim shuhu meivin boi. Shavuos Hadayonim can be said in any loshim that the person understands. Which is a chiddush. Rashi is telling us, the Braisa rather is telling us according to Rashi, that Shavuos Hadayonim does not have to be applied, Bezin does not have to apply the oath to the person who has to make this Shavuah in Lashon HaKodesh. The Rimagash in his Chiddushim and Shavuos says exactly the opposite. He says that Shavuos Hadayonim afi bil shoino means in its specific Lashon, meaning to say Lashon HaKodesh. Where does the Rimagash get this from? So there's a Mishnah in Soita Daf Lamed Beis, Perek Elu Nemorim, the seventh Perek of Maseches Soita, and over there the Mishnah delineates a long list of different mitzvahs that are Mechayev Amira, some of which are Nemorim B'chol Loshoy. Mishnah goes to Parshas Soita. Parshas Soita is the threats that were said to the Soita before she drank the Mayim HaMa'orin that would test if she was faithful to her husband. Uvidui Meiser. Uvidui Meiser is the psukim that said to somebody after the 3-year cycle of Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni and Trumas that he had given away all the matnas Kohuna Leviyah and Aniyim that were in his Rishus. These are psukim in the beginning of Parshas Kisavoy. Kriyashma, everybody knows what Kriyashma is, the Tvilo, Birchs Amozoin. And there the Mishnah adds, what's Nemorim B'chol Loshen? Shavuos HaEdus or Shavuos HaPikodin? Shavuos HaEdus or Shavuos HaPikodin? We learned about Shavuos HaPikodin, and Yitzhak Hashem will learn about the 8th Perek. It's really the dinim of the Shavuos that a Shoimer makes in Bav Metzir, and Shavuos HaEdus is being mashbiah somebody that he does not know Edus on your behalf. And these are Nemorim B'chol Loshen. However, the missing in the list, if we're listing Shavuos, is very obviously Shavuos HaDayonim. So the Rimagash was Medayik, that's Nemorim Dafka B'Loshen HaKodesh. Despite the fact that the Mishnah thereafter lists a whole bunch of things that are Nemorim Dafka B'Loshen HaKodesh, Mikra Bikurin, Chalitza, Brachas uklolos that were given on Hagriz and Ha'evel, Bechas Koyanim, Bechas Koyan Gogol, Parshas Amelech, Parshas Egel Aruf, etc. The Mishnah brings down all the psukim of these dinim, why some are Delosh Nagadish and some are Nemorim B'chol Loshen. But what's interesting is Shavuos Hadayonim is missing on both sides of the list. So the Rimagash Shita is that Shavuos Hadayonim has to be applied by the Bezdin Delosh Nagadish. Rashi's opinion is, and this is also the sack of the Goyinim, the Rambam, interestingly, Paskin, not like his Rebbe, the Rimagash, where in almost every other place where the Rimagash has a psak, the Rambam goes with the Rimagash. Over here, the Rambam is machriah like the Goyinim, and like the Pshat of Rashi, the Mevinu B'chol Loshoin, I'm sorry, that Afi B'Loshoin and Emro, it means B'chol Loshoin Shu Mevin Boyanat B'Loshoin Dafka in Loshon HaKodesh. So this is the psak of the Rambam. I'd like to use this Rambam of Nemor B'chol Loshen as a springboard for an interesting discussion on a topic which is not clearly delineated, which is not clearly defined rather in the Poskim, but it's a sadistic Indian with some ramifications la'alocha la'maisa, not so much on Choshen Mishpah. The Rambam in saying this halacha, the Rambam is in Perek Yud Aleph in Hilchos Shvuos, with halachos of Shvuos HaDayanim are discussed and their application. And the Rambam says over there that when the Beis Din will be mashbia somebody, the Loshon Rambam is as follows: Tzorich lohidia es hanishba. The Beis Din has to inform the nishba, the person who is under oath, actually makir loshon hashvua. He has to recognize loshon hashvua. The Rambam adds an extra clause that the person has to be aware and has to understand the words that he is saying. The Mefarshim explained that it's very obvious that the kavanah of the Rambam is not that that the person has to be aware of the content of the oath that he is taking, that he is being given, because there's halacha ha'odam b'shvur, which we met up with in the third parak of Maseches Shvuos, where a person is unaware of what he is swearing, what he is testifying to, or what he's making a shvua over there. It's not talking about it taking an oath in Beis Din. We're talking about a person who makes a personal a shvua of a personal nature. And the halacha is adam b'shvua, if a person makes a shvua and he is unaware about which of the information about which he is testifying, that shvua has no tekef of a shvua. So it's clear that the Rambam is not coming over here to tell us that the shvua has to be a shvua. The Rambam is adding another clause. And the Mefarshim explain that what the Rambam means to add is an extra specification that the person, the nishba, has to understand each word of what he's swearing. Meaning to say, we would be able to hear that the Beis Din would administer an oath, and the Beis Din would explain to him in his, you have somebody who just came in who's an uneducated person, and he was involved in some type of dispute with somebody else, and the Beis Din tells him, okay, look, you know, we have to put you under oath that you gave him 20 chickens and he gave you 50 bags of barley or whatever, two country bumpkins would fight about. And the Beis Din will explain to him, Bil Shoinoi, exactly what he's going to testify. And then the Beis Din will administer an oath with a string of long, complicated words, and the person will lift his right hand, or in this case, he'll hold the Sefer Torah, as is done in Beis Din, as was done in Beis Din, a Sefer Torah, or a Dovah Shepikdusha, a Tefillin, and the Shul will be good. He knows what he's testifying to. He knows the severity. Beis Din will warn him before about the terrible crime of a Shul Sheker, Mamish, one of our Seres at Gibrais. And the shvua will be a good shvua. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says, actually, makir loshon shvua, he has to understand every word. If the person does not understand the wording of the shvua, we have to sit and explain it to him, and only then can he swear. So this is very interesting. He knows what he's swearing to, but he has to understand every word. Why is this so important? The person knows what he's testifying to, and he's under oath. Taisus and Soita, over there in that Mishnah, Daf Lamed Beis, says that all things that are Nemarim B'chol Lashon, what does it mean it's Nemarim B'chol Lashon? Could a person say Kriya Shema in French, if he doesn't understand what he's talking about, read it out of a French siddur? Imagine, let's say, a person forgot the wording of Kriya Shema, and he's an American, and the only siddur that he found 2 minutes before the Zman Kriya Shema was a French translation. Well, let's say somebody doesn't know how to read Hebrew. And we give him a siddur. The only siddur we have, he's in Paris, and the only siddur we got him, he said he'll do a mitzvah. So we pull out a siddur. The only siddur we have is one with French translation. He's American, he doesn't know what he's reading, but he wants to do a mitzvah. Could we give him the Kriya Shema with French? So Taisus says over there that what does it mean Nemar B'choloshen? I quote for you the Taisus, the first Taisus in the seventh parak of Soita. Taisus says that La Fuke, this Nemar B'choloshen is coming to exclude Limidi, to somebody from Modai She'eni Oime B'loshen Parsi, that he cannot say B'loshen Parsi, meaning to say that a person cannot be considered as having expressed an idea, a thought, as having made a declaration of any type, which is a mitzvah or a chiyuv, min ha-Torah, min ha-Rabbanon, if he does not understand that which he is saying. Why is that? So the Achrayim in the beginning of Nedarim point out a very fundamental concept about the difference between Lashon Kodesh and the languages of the Umas HaOlam, and the Mishnah Berurah even brings this in Hilchos Krishma in discussing the halacha of Krishma and Nemarim B'chol Lashon. And they say as follows, they say that Lashon HaKodesh is Lashon Be'etzem, which means, we know that the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh, and before the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was Mevalbel Sasvosois, before the 70 languages were created, the natural tongue of a person is Lashon HaKodesh, a natural tongue of Adam HaRishon, and of all the Bria was Lashon HaKodesh. In Lashon HaKodesh, every word means what it's supposed to mean, because that's Be'etzem what that word means. L'moshel, it says in Parshas Bereishis that Adam HaRishon gave all the animals their names. Ve'ikras, kolachayis, shemois. What does that mean? What's the difference whether he called a tiger an elephant and he called an elephant a tiger, or he called an elephant a tiger? Every name that Adam HaRishon gave to an animal in Lashon HaKodesh was the word bidiyuk that fit the description, the inner description of what that animal represents. Meaning to say, if the word for a lion is Aryeh, then a lion has in it koichos of Aleph, and of Resh, and of Yud, and of Eh. This is not just an arbitrary way of explaining who you're talking about. Well, I tell you all the animals in the zoo, so how am I going to know by which cage to find you? So we'll call one a lion, one a tiger, one a snake, and one a kangaroo. No. Every word in Lashon HaKodesh means what it means be'etzem. The languages of the Umas HaOlam, in contrast, the Mishnah Berurah says, are bahaskom, which means that people have to find a way to communicate, and they use certain words to express, to convey certain ideas. Obviously, Ivrit, Bizman HaZeh, is not an accurate depiction of Lashon HaKodesh, because a lot of the words over there are also taken from slang from different languages, even if they are Hebrewized, but very often they have their origin not in Lashon HaKodesh. But in the Lashonis of Umas HaOlam, the word for car in France is as arbitrary as the word car in America. And the word could have been the same word that's used in English, could have been used for that word in France, and vice versa. So what the Poskim say is that in Lashon HaKodesh, when a person says something, even if he doesn't understand it, he's still saying that idea, he's expressing that idea. Whereas in the Lashonis of Umas HaOlam, and any other language in the world, the language is only a vehicle by which a person can express, can convey whatever thought he wants to get across to the person listening to him. If he doesn't understand what he's saying, it's nish gezogt, he didn't say anything. If the whole language is only a way of giving over an idea, and he's not giving over an idea because he doesn't understand that language, it has no value as a form of speech. Theoretically, maybe you can read off a paper and somebody else will understand him. But as far as the person who's speaking is concerned, a Lashon which he does not understand is not considered a vehicle to communicate his thoughts, as opposed to Lashon HaKodesh, where he's saying what he's saying. So, we understand that what the Rambam is telling us, insofar as Shavuos is concerned, is that when a person is under oath and he takes his shvuah, he's administered the shvuah with words he doesn't understand, if he was speaking b'lashon HaKodesh, so we understand that as long as he understands the content of what he's saying, he's expressing an idea, and he's saying that with the Shem Hashem, that's a shvuah. But if he says it in a different lashon, he's not saying anything, he's not expressing any idea. The fact that he knows what the Bezdin wants him to declare is meaningless, because he's not using a form of speech which is valid as far as he's concerned. If he doesn't understand, it's not a way for him to express that idea. So this is the Taisus in Sotah Daf Lamed Beis. It would seem that this idea is across the board, Taisus says, in all the halachas that are nemarim b'chol lashon, all the different things in the Mishnah over there that we just said. However, the Rambam uses slightly different, the Rambam has a variation in the way he brings down this idea of Nemarim B'chol Lashon in different halachas. A very interesting Shini HaLashon. The Rambam, B'Lashon HaZov, was medayik to express this idea in different places in different way. The Rambam in Kriyishma Perek Beis, and in Perek Beis Mehilchos Sotah, where he's talking about the words that the Kahanim tell the Isha before they administer the Mayim HaMa'orim, in Perek Zayin Mehilcha Shvuah, we're talking obviously about Shvuahs, and also in Perek Tes, the Rambam says that a person can make a Shvuah, over there obviously in Shvuah, he's talking about Shvuahs are the Anam also, but Shvuahs Hapikod and Shvuahs Eidus. The Rambam says simply that these things are Nemar B'chol Loshon Shehum Makir, in any language that he recognizes. Which sounds like the idea that we just said over from Taisus, that even though these things are Nemorim B'chol Loshon, but it has to be a Loshon Shehu Makir, otherwise it's meaningless as far as communication with this person is concerned. What's interesting is in Maiser Sheni, in Perek Yud Aleph, where he's talking about Vidin Maiser. Vidin Maiser again is the declaration that has to be made. It's a Mitzvah Sem Deraisa, the Psukim in the beginning of Parshas Kisavoy, where a person after he finishes giving out all the three, a cycle of Maiser Rishon and Maiser Oni and Maiser Rishon, Maiser Oni and Maiser Sheni and Trumas, after he has finished giving out, clearing out of his storage all the different matonos that he had to give to Kehanim, Leviim, and Aniim, and taking to Yerushalayim the Maiser Sheni, he makes a declaration. And this declaration is also, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, and the Gemara learns out of Psukim, Nemor B'chol Loshoyim. And over there, the Rambam says a slightly different nusach, and the same is also in Perek Aleph. The Hilchus Brochos, where he's talking about making a brocha, B'chol Loshoyim. And over there he says, he doesn't say B'chol Loshoyim Shuhum Makir, he says, Sheyochol Loimah B'chol Loshoyim. Now, we know that every Lashon in the Rambam is Meduyik. If the Rambam tells us in certain places, in Krishma, for instance, that the person, that Krishma is Nemeres B'chol Lashon, and in Brochos, when a person is making a Brocha on an apple, or Birchsamozin, the Rambam says it's Nemorim B'chol Lashon, and he doesn't say B'loshon Shehu Makir, that the Rambam means to point out a distinction between the two. Based on the idea that we said from Tosfos, and that the Mishnah Berurah explains that Loshon of Umus Ha'olam is Askom, and any language which a person doesn't understand is not considered a means of speech for that person, there should not be a chilik between these two halachas. It would seem that the Rambam does not accept this principle that we explained as a given across the board. Rather, the Rambam has a chilik between different things. It's possible that when a person picks up our case that we mentioned above, where we have an American Jew who we explain the importance, let's say, of the mitzvah of Krishma, and he wants to say Krishma, and it so happens to be that we're in the airport in Paris, and the only city we could find, he doesn't read Hebrew, unfortunately, not yet at least, and the only city that we find in the airport is a city with French translation. And to have him say Krishma in French, according to Taisus, if he only speaks English and he's not a French speaker, is not worth much, because it's not called that he communicated, that he said Krishma. The Rambam says, the Rambam would agree by Krishma, because the Rambam says B'chol Loshon Shehu Makir. Our American does not understand French. However, in a brocha, let's say we would explain to him the importance. Imagine, you're sitting in an airport in Paris, waiting for a TWA connection, you're coming from Eretz Yisrael, you stopped in Paris for a few hours, in the airport, you're sitting in the lounge and you just peeled an apple, you made a brocha and you said it. Somebody walks over to you, he introduces himself as Jewish, he says, I see you're Jewish, I've been interested in finding out about Judaism, and I see that you just mumbled something, he's an American, and I see you just mumbled something before you ate the apple. Is that a Jewish custom? You explain to him what it means to say a bracha, to recognize that the Rabbanu Shalom gives us everything, Shachal Nir Bedvari, Bari Priya Eitz, etc., etc. And the person is very taken with the idea, and he wants to try it himself. You pull out another apple, you peel it for him, and you want him to make a bracha. Over the year, if the only siddur that you find, but you're going to say the words in Hebrew, he's going to stumble, he doesn't feel so comfortable, he doesn't talk Hebrew, he doesn't want to repeat after you, he feels a little bit silly, you say, okay, let's look around for a prayer book, and you'll say the declaration of thanking the Lord for the bounty that he's put in this world. You'll say that blessing in a siddur. You look around, the only siddur you find is a French siddur. The Rambam says that since it's B'chol Loshon by Hilchus Brachos, he could make the bracha, and it's considered that he was Yoytzeh the Mitzvah making a bracha before he eats. What's the pshat? The pshat is, it would seem, that there are two different types of things that are nemar b'chol lashon according to the Rambam. There are certain things which are a declaration. A person says a bracha. If he knows that what he's doing is he's thanking the Rabbanu Shalom for what he's eating, even if he doesn't understand the words that he's saying, but he's issuing a declaration that he recognizes that the Rabbanu Shalom is the one who makes that apple grow on the tree. As opposed to Kriyashma is not a declaration. Kriyashma is the mitzvah of Kriyashma is the vehicle that the Torah gave us for twice daily being Mekabel Oil Malchus Shamayim. If we don't understand the words of Kriyashma that we are saying, could it be considered that that's a Kabbalah Oil Malchus Shamayim? It's not just a declaration of loyalty. It's a experience. Kriyashma is supposed to, a person who's saying Kriyashma is supposed to go through an experience of using those words to attach himself to Oil Malchus Shamayim. It's Kabbalah Oil Malchus Shamayim. If he doesn't understand the words that he's saying, then it's meaningless insofar as using that declaration as a means of being Mekabel Oil Malchus Shamayim. Therefore, the Rambam holds that Kriyashma can only be said in a Lashon Shehu Makir, as opposed to a bracha, which is just declaring something. It's an experience insofar as the recognition is concerned, but the words itself is just a declaration. Vidui Meiser, he's not becoming something. It's just a declaration that he makes, that he took out the Meiser from the house. So that he could do b'chol lashon, even if he doesn't recognize it. Pasha Soita, for instance, besides for just being words that are said, the woman has to feel the pachad of what she's about to do before she drinks that water. If the words are not understood, so then what value does it have in making her feel the feelings, the emotions that she's supposed to feel before she drinks that water? This would seem to be the mahalach of the Rambam, this Indian. Again, not like Tosfos, who says that nemeres b'chol lashon is only insofar as the person understands it, otherwise it's not a valid means of communication. The Rambam doesn't agree to this principle, but the Rambam does agree that when a person is mekabel ol malchus shamayim, or he's using words to express feelings, or to bring out a certain experience, then it has to be words that he understands, where he understands each word kishal atzmai, and he doesn't understand just the toichen advan, the general content of what he's about to say. One more point, which is interesting to mention, important to mention, is that even though the Rambam doesn't agree with the Tosfos' principle of Nemarim B'chol Lashon, meaning only a language that the person who is speaking understands, the Tosfos can point out that even according to the Rambam, the halacha is that a language, B'chol Lashon, is only considered valid communication. The idea is basically the same principle as we said according to Tosfos, that Nemorim B'chol Lashon is only when that language is recognized in the place that he says it. Meaning to say, if you're in the airport in Paris and you say something in French, there are enough people there, obviously, in Paris who understand French. But there are also enough people in the airport in Paris that understand English. So if he would read it out of an English siddur in an airport in Paris, according to the Rambam, even if he wouldn't understand it, it would be yotze the bracha, because he's speaking a language which is a language. The same is true that this is in every airport in the world for English. Even in Tokyo, or in Singapore, or any place else in the civilized world, English is understood. But what happens, let's say a person was in an airport in New York. It's not so practical, but just to bring out the point. A person would be in New York, and somebody gave him a nusach of a bracha of a siddur in Swahili. I haven't heard yet that article printed up in Swahili, but if somebody gave him a nusach of a bracha that was in Swahili or any other language from sub-Saharan Africa that nobody in the street in New York recognizes, even the Rambam would agree that that's not called a lashon. What makes a lashon is that people speak it. French in New York is a language. English in Paris is a language. I don't know if Japanese in Brooklyn is considered a language. English in Tokyo is certainly considered a language. And so on and so forth. Everything would be totally legufa shalinian, where and what we're talking about. But that's even according to the Rambam that holds that nemorim b'chol lashon, even when the person doesn't understand it, but the language has to be a language, which means that it's a used form of communication in that place.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.